Well, good morning and welcome to Morning News Issues and Feedback. Well, what a fast morning it is. And beautiful sunshine. Dwayne, God just made such a beautiful day today.
He did for a fact, Vera. And sometimes whenever we have a beautiful day like today and we're doing an interview like we are today, I have to write down the names of the people I'm interviewing. But this guy has been in my life a good portion of his own life.
That's right.
His father has been working with me in some
capacity. I remember
when
he was a little tyke.
I mean, a little bitty fella.
He's not that way anymore.
No, he's a man of God now. And I remember, you know, the reason why is because I know this guy now. I don't have to write his name down anywhere. And so
I would hope not.
We're glad to have Jonathan Baldwin with us. Jonathan Baldwin is the son of Billy Baldwin, who has been a person who's worked with us here at the station for many years. He was here in the very beginning of the radio station back in 1985, and he raised
actually,
up
actually, before that time,
yes,
Wayne,
he was, yes, very much so. He was with us in the very beginning. Actually, the first paid employee to the radio station was Billy Baldwin. And Billy fathered this little guy, Jonathan Baldwin, who's in the studio with us now, who's now grown up to be a man of God, who travels around the United States and is anywhere that the Lord leads him to go across the world. And he is in the Lufkin area for a few days, and we wanted to talk with him because this guy's gone from a little whip nose, as some woman would say.
No. We're not going to label that.
Okay. He's gone
man
from,
of God.
He's
that's,
gone from
that's
being a little kid that we knew to a big old man of God. And he's not big either. I mean, you know.
Thank you, dear, for being so gracious.
Well, you're
about
so
that.
Wonderful, honey, for being so caustic there. Thank you very much. Now, we're having a great time with Jonathan Baldwin this morning. Welcome to the program, Jonathan. We're glad to have you this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It is for a fact. And I know that you've been traveling around doing a lot of different things. What brings you to Lufkin for a short break or what? Are you working?
I've done some ministry here. Was out at Grace Gospel and over in Zavala the past day. And just are trying to spread the vision of night and day prayer, that God wants prayer in this hour of human history to be raised up to go forth before his throne all the time.
This is your ministry?
Continually.
Is that
yes.
right? Prayer?
Yes, sir. God has called me. I've joined some intercessors in Kansas City at the International House of Prayer, and we've been praying there 24/7 for 7 years.
And how long have you been in this ministry?
Been in this ministry for 3 years now, almost 3 years, and been doing that full time since 2004.
So you're living by faith?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Since 2004, you've been living at this kind of ministry?
Yes, sir. Yes,
where
sir.
You'd pray?
Yep.
You pray and you're trusting God to keep you.
Yeah.
Pay your bills.
Pay my bills. Yep. Been trusting God.
So you've been doing this full time now since 2004.
That's correct. Yep.
Praying. Did you hear that, folks? Here's a man who is in a full-time profession, vocation, a calling, full-time. And what does he do? He prays.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Well, when you stop and think about prayer is talking to God.
Yeah. Well, he
does
other things.
Isn't that wonderful?
He does other things besides praying. Of course, he has to have conscious moments when he comes and does an interview and things like that. And of course, but his main focus is. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about prayer. How does it work? How do you get
basically? We have at the International House of Prayer, we have 84 2-hour prayer meetings a week, and I'm involved in the section of midnight to 6. So I pray all night, and our rallying call is "The Night Belongs to the Lord," and we have a desire to see many people giving themselves to the Lord in the middle of the night and crying out to Him for the breakthrough of the Lord in this generation.
Are you saying you several nights a week pray from midnight to 6?
Yes, 6 nights a week I'm in there.
6 nights a week?
Yes, sir.
No wonder they call it the International House of Prayer.
Yeah, and we have people from all over the world that have come and joined us, and we're excited because our vision is about to expand beyond Kansas City, as they're about to put us on television, actually, 24/7, from midnight till 6, all over the world on God TV, which just came over into America. They're going to put us on television so that we can lead the world in prayer.
Will I be able to get that on my Dish Network?
It's on Direct TV.
It's on Direct TV.
Yep.
Direct TV. So this is going to be something to be available for a lot of people to watch in America.
That's right, yeah, and it's also on the internet at god.tv.
God.tv.
Well, you know, I know you said watch because that's the medium of television. But actually, when you stop and think about it, it's an invitation to join them. And, you know, a lot of people find God in those hours because generally when we quiet ourselves and we shut our eyes when it's dark, many times, that's when people reach out to God.
How many of you out there knew that there was an international prayer meeting going 24/7 up in Missouri, is it?
Yes, Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. There's a prayer meeting going 24/7 for our nation.
And we've been going since September of 1999. We recently celebrated our seven-year anniversary there in Kansas City. And we're just excited to see God do this until he returns. We're determined to keep the fire on the altar burning.
Well, I know that a lot of people that are listening this morning think they've really done a lot if they go pray over two meals a day and maybe pray 2 minutes at the church service or say amen somewhere, and that's a big prayer meeting. But you're talking about a 24/7 prayer meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jonathan, I want to know something about what takes place during your prayer meeting. Just give us a sort of a rundown. How do you pray for 6 hours?
Yeah. Basically, what we've done is we've combined worship and intercession. Revelation 4 talks about the harp and the bowl of incense. The bowl is the prayers of the saints. The harp is about worship. And we've sensed the calling from the Lord on earth as it is in heaven. And just like it says in Revelation 5, we want harp and bowl. We want worship and intercession. And so during the prayer meetings, someone will get up there. We have a row where anyone can come up and pray. And they get up there. They pray their prayer. And then we will develop it in singing and spontaneous singing from the Lord. And so the Lord literally will give us songs on the spot, and we'll sing those songs to help engage the
prayer. So it's almost like you're literally writing psalms and singing psalms and
basically
doing what the scripture says in Ephesians, where you build one another up in
psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
And so you actually, then you, someone may be the catalyst for that.
Right.
A lot of this is audible then, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Someone's bringing up their prayer, and then we're coming and we're developing it with singing. And that's actually what I do on the night watch. I'm a worship leader on the night watch. And so God's given me the responsibility of leading his people into worship and then taking those prayers and turning them into songs. Thereby, we can engage, well, pretty soon, thousands and thousands of people all over the world.
So you use the keyboard and the guitar yourself?
Yes.
And then you bring people into worship as well, or prayer worship and and things.
Worship and into the prayer meeting.
I guess it's probably a lot of people have not ever really seen prayer go on like this before, have they?
But God is orchestrating it all over the earth. It's amazing me. God has just raised up a house of prayer in Atlanta. There's one in Charlotte that just started. The one in Atlanta is 24/7 now. There's one in Israel. There's two or three of them in Israel. God's raising up prayer all over the earth, and it really is amazing me.
Well, why?
This worldwide prayer movement.
Why do you think God's doing this now?
I believe Jesus is coming back soon.
Really?
And Revelation 22 says this. It says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So I believe God is going to orchestrate a global symphony that is going to cry out for the return of Jesus. And then the Lord is going to come back and he's going to break in.
Is that some of the things you do? You cry out for the Lord to return?
Yeah, that's one of our prayers for sure. It's Revelation 22, 19, I believe it is. It
and
says,
I guess
the Spirit and the Bride say,
the
come.
The peace of Jerusalem.
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess you pray for people to receive Christ?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what in a prayer meeting do you cry? Do you get happy? I mean, is it something that's very, when you get ready to go to work, you know, I mean, I can imagine now. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I got to eat breakfast and get in the car and drive to work and, you know, I got to fix widgets for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to get ready to go to work for you?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's all sorts of ranges of
emotions. Do you pray to get ready to go to work?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do.
Because, I mean, your work is prayer. I mean,
my work is prayer.
Lord, guide me today as I pray. I mean, what? Tell us about it.
Oh, it's pretty wild. I mean, basically, we're constantly, I mean, me personally, I'm constantly asking the Lord for his heart. God, give me your heart. Give me your emotions. Lord, what are you thinking and what are you feeling in this moment? And then I ask God, I'm like, God, I want to identify with you in the place of your suffering. And then, Lord, I want to identify with you in your happiness over this issue and just all the ranges of the Lord's emotions.
Have you seen any answers? Do y'all ever see any answers to your prayers?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us about maybe an experience or something, if you can think of one.
Yeah. Actually, recently, we've been burdened and gripped with the issue of child prostitution all over the world. And so recently, we had a prayer meeting where we were just hammering it. God, break in, deliver these people from child prostitution. And actually, a few days later, we looked in the newspaper, and sure enough, a ring of child prostitution, or actually, it was the very next day, a ring of child prostitution had been broken that very day. And it was pretty wild. I mean,
it's
we saw
national,
the answers to our prayers.
That slavery and everything's made national headlines.
Yeah, because of William Wilberforce's birthday, the whole world is focused on this issue right now. And it's very much on God's heart.
And so, you know, if someone's just watching the headlines, they think, oh, well, let's see, that's nice. Not knowing that back behind the scenes, places like International House of Prayer have been praying for this for a long time.
Yeah.
And you see a breakthrough. You see it as God moving.
Absolutely. We see God responding to prayer because God, in his sovereignty, he works, but he requires that an intercessor partners with him. We see that in Daniel 7 and Daniel 9. God requires that an intercessor partner with him.
God wants to do something, but he also wants human vessels reach out and cry out to him.
That's right.
He said, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Very good. That's absolutely fantastic. And you're into that. The man who gets up and goes to work to pray. Folks, we're listening to Jonathan Baldwin, who is a full-time missionary to the world through International House of Prayer, living by faith, trusting God for providing for him while he prays for you and me and the whole world. What a powerful ministry indeed. You can find out more about Jonathan at his website, HungryGeneration.com Ministries. HungryGeneration.com Ministries, and you can find out how you may want to support Jonathan in this. Can you imagine having someone that would, if you supported them, you know good and well, he's going to remember you in prayer? Imagine a guy who prays 6 hours a day remembering you in prayer. Oh, that's, well, you're not going to bribe God, but I just tell you. We'll be right back with Jonathan right after the break. We got more to hear from him.
Well, you're listening to Morning News Issues and Feedback, and we have a special guest this morning, Jonathan Baldwin, the International House of Prayer.
Jonathan, I want to ask you about some subjects here that locally, that one of the reasons that brought you back to Lufkin for a few days, but also I want to ask you, in your prayer meetings that you have every day, do you get into a place where the prayer meetings get really serious? I mean, I know you're worshiping, you're praising, you're seeking, but sometimes does the spirit of intercession come so heavy people cry and weep and so forth?
Absolutely. There's definitely times where we're feeling the emotions of God concerning the particular subject that we're praying for to the point where, like Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, well, no, not like that, but something like that, where we're actually weeping with him.
And I suppose probably you also feel the burdens of people who are hurting as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, you get the feeling like you're maybe, you know, intercessory is actually sort of like taking on the feelings of the person you're praying for.
Oftentimes it is, yeah.
And if they're in slavery or being in pain, you're there in pain with them.
Absolutely.
You find that to be true?
Absolutely. Oftentimes we will be identifying with the people we are praying for to the point where, yeah, we're just overwhelmed with emotion for that particular person and the those that are oppressing them.
You know, I'm satisfied of you having spent now since 2004.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Praying continually like this. This man, Jonathan Baldwin, has probably developed some insights into prayer that very few people know about. You can't pray 6 hours a day for four or five years without getting some insight into prayer. I would think you might want to have him come visit your prayer meeting or your church and invite this man in and to get some insights. But you're also burdened about a lot of things, so you didn't just come down here to rest and relax. You also came in here because you're concerned about something in our own community. What is that?
Yes, sir. Well, there's a Planned Parenthood clinic here in town. They don't do abortions right now, but they do refer people to get abortions over in Houston and other places. And I'm concerned because they're planning on expanding their facility.
So this is one of the things that you get involved in intercessory prayer, is prayer for the unborn. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, one of our particular focuses at the International House of Prayer is praying for the ending of abortion. Since 1973, over 45 million babies have been killed. About 4,400 a day are killed daily in this nation. And our heart is to see that end.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a moment, Jonathan.
Yes, yeah.
Why does it matter? I mean, babies are born, they die, I mean, and they get aborted. Why is that important?
God is passionate about life. He created life, and he alone wants to be the one who determines when it ends or when it begins. And we cannot just so candidly decide that we want to end life.
God created the concept, the whole concept of procreation, didn't he?
Mm.
So procreation begins when the law defines it, or when God starts it.
Yes.
You know?
It's when God determines it.
Yeah, when God determines it. So that means that in the mind of God, you believe then that when a person is aborted, murdered in the womb, that is murder.
Absolutely.
And that's the difference between a pro-life and a pro-choice. A pro-choice is saying it's okay to murder in the womb, even though God would say that's murder.
Right.
It's okay to end the life of the fetus.
Yeah, and there's many scriptures that talk about that in the Bible. Psalm 139, it talks about how David, he said that God formed him in his mother's womb. I mean, we don't understand just even the fullness of God's delight as he forms a little child in the womb, and then we so candidly just say, okay, well, we're gonna kill this little one that God is knitting together in the mother's womb. And yet some feel that is not life, and I think that's pretty crazy.
I know in reading the King James Version in Psalm 139, the indication there, if you look at a couple of those verses, is that God actually had infers a communication with a child before he's actually started knitting.
Mm.
And that it says, before I was formed, when as yet there was none of me,
yes,
then he knew me. So God had knowledge of this person, and at the moment of conception, God recognizes that person as a person and communicates with them.
Absolutely.
So that makes it murder.
Absolutely.
Which means that, you know, if you have been involved in an abortion, there is forgiveness for
Absolutely.
You, right?
Absolutely. And the grace of the Lord, yeah, we often are praying for those women who have been involved in abortions. And in fact, there's an organization that Alan Parker is involved in, and basically their vision is to see the reality that women are harmed by abortion go forth to the state legislatures and to the Supreme Court and other places. I mean, women are hurt by abortion.
Somehow, unconsciously, even a woman who does not know the truth realizes later on that she's done something terribly wrong.
Mm.
I mean, there's a grieving process goes on.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah, there is. I don't have to think. I mean, so many women have testified about that grieving process.
Over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about women that may not even know Jesus.
Yeah.
May not be saved. They have this process. There's a damage going on. Science is now proving it by surveys. But the Planned Parenthood clinics continue to try and develop around the country, and with the government funding.
Yeah, and I'm just
funding.
I'm so concerned about this clinic because they have, you know, they said that they're not going to have abortions, but I'm concerned because many clinics that they have started smaller have expanded, and I'm concerned that this clinic will expand to also include abortion services in our city, and we cannot allow that to happen. And I'm calling every pastor in the city to rise up and to protest this expansion of the clinic.
And certainly to pray.
And certainly to
apparently
pray.
Because we can't do it even with the arm of flesh.
No, we can't.
Yes, it
totally
has to be
God.
A spiritual
battle. It is primarily a spiritual battle.
Which gets right back to the heart of your heart.
Yeah.
Praying.
We have to pray
God.
To see this thing end.
You pray and you act.
Right.
You know, you do both. But prayer is going to be the key thing that changes the right hearts, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh? And I was thinking about the fact that they got the floor plan set up in such a way that it's got the right number of square feet.
Yeah.
So that it's just over the number necessary to have abortions.
Yeah.
You know, a few feet less and it wouldn't be able to have abortions. So we just are just sitting here just waiting to see what God will do, but we can't wait for God. We've got to pray, don't we?
No, we do. And just like Daniel, I want to stand in the gap on behalf of this city and say, God, please break in, move in your sovereignty, and destroy this work of darkness that is seeking to take the lives of little children.
Okay, you're listening to Jonathan Baldwin, who is with IHOP Ministries out of Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. You can contact him through hungrygeneration.com or you can call us here at the station. He'll be around here for another hour or two. And he's going to be in our devotion this morning at 9 o'clock. And Jonathan Baldwin is traveling full-time in the ministry, sharing not only the gospel, but also teaching people about how to pray and what he does to pray and the burden he has. The Planned Parenthood is just one thing that they pray about.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's by far many other things they cover. Jonathan, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your care, concern, and thank God for your call. Everybody, we got to go, and remember that what Jonathan prays is that Jesus Christ is the good news. As a matter of fact, it's the best news of all, isn't it, Jonathan?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Bye-bye, everybody.